A series of unfortunate events. Number 10. The Slippery Slope by Lemony Snicket. Performed by Tim Curry. Chapter 1. A man of my acquaintance once wrote a poem called The Road Less Travelled, describing a journey he took through the woods along a path most travellers never used. The poet found that the road less travelled was peaceful, but quite lonely, and he was probably a bit nervous as he went along, because if anything happened on the road less travelled, the other travellers would be on the road more frequently travelled, and so couldn't hear him as he cried for help. Sure enough, that poet is now dead. Like a dead poet, this book can be said to be on the road less travelled, because it begins with the three Baudelaire children on a path leading through the Mortmain Mountains, which is not a popular destination for travellers, and it ends in the churning waters of the stricken stream, which few travellers even go near. But this book is also on the road less travelled, because unlike books most people prefer, which provide comforting and entertaining tales about charming people and talking animals, the tale you are reading now is nothing but distressing and unnerving, and the people unfortunate enough to be in the story are far more desperate and frantic than charming, and I would prefer not to speak about the animals at all. For that reason, I can no more suggest the reading of this woeful book than I can recommend wandering around the woods by yourself, because, like the road less travelled, this book is likely to make you feel lonely, miserable, and in need of help. The Baudelaire orphans, however, had no choice but to be on the road less travelled. Violet and Klaus, the two elder Baudelaires, were in a caravan, travelling very quickly along the high mountain path. Neither Violet, who was 14, nor Klaus, who had recently turned 13, had ever thought they would find themselves on this road, except perhaps with their parents on a family vacation, but the Baudelaire parents were nowhere to be found after a terrible fire destroyed their home, although the children had reason to believe that one parent may not have died in the blaze after all, and the caravan was not heading up the Mortmain Mountains toward a secret headquarters the siblings had heard about and were hoping to find. The caravan was heading down the Mortmain Mountains very quickly, with no way to control or stop its journey, so Violet and Klaus felt more like fish in a stormy sea than travellers on a vacation. But Sonny Baudelaire was in a situation that could be said to be even more desperate. Sonny was the youngest Baudelaire, still learning to speak in a way that everyone could understand, so she scarcely had words for how frightened she was. Sonny was travelling uphill toward the headquarters in the Mortmain Mountains in an automobile that was working perfectly, but the driver of the automobile was a man who was reason enough for being terrified. Some people called this man wicked. Some called him Fascinerous, which is a fancy word for wicked. But everyone called him Count Olaf, unless he was wearing one of his ridiculous disguises and making people call him a false name. Count Olaf was an actor, but he had largely abandoned his theatrical career to try to steal the enormous fortune the Baudelaire parents had left behind. Olaf's schemes to get the fortune had been mean-spirited and particularly complicated, but nevertheless he had managed to attract a girlfriend, a villainous and stylish woman named Esme Squalor, who was sitting next to Count Olaf in the car, cackling nastily and clutching Sonny on her lap. Also in the car were several employees of Olaf's, including a man with hooks instead of hands, two women who like to wear white powder all over their faces, and three new comrades Olaf had recently recruited at Caligari Carnival. The Baudelaire children had been at the carnival too, wearing disguises of their own, and had pretended to join Count Olaf in his treachery, but the villain had seen through their ruse, a phrase which here means realized who they really were and cut the knot attaching the caravan to the car, leaving Sunny in Olaf's clutches and her siblings tumbling toward their doom. Sunny sat in the car and felt Esme's long fingernails scratch her shoulders and worried about what would happen to her and what was happening to her older siblings as she heard their screams getting fainter and fainter as the car drove farther and farther away.